beings throughout the universe, I have battled against evil, against power-mad conspirators. I should have stayed here. The oldest civilization. Decadent, degenerate, and rotten to the core. Power-mad conspirators, Daleks, Sontarans, Cybermen. They're still in the nursery compared to us. 10 million years of absolute power. That's what it takes to be really corrupt.
Welcome to Two Guys, a Girl on the Podcast. We're talking about Doctor Who. We're talking about the ultimate foe. This is the last story for the Trial of Time Lord. It's a two-parter, and it wraps up kind of the whole Trial of Time Lord season. I am Ken.
Jeff.
Annie.
And before we get into this, Jeff, what else have you been watching lately?
I watched the Rocky movies.
Okay.
Except for 5. Because HBO's been showing them on a loop.
So I guess 5 is not a good...
People tell me Rocky 5 sucks, so I just avoid it. So I go 1, 2, 3, 4, then Rocky Balboa.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've never seen them before until now, so... So I've been watching them on a loop.
Okay.
I've been to Philadelphia to see the Rocky statue.
Yay.
I want to run up those stairs.
Sure you could. I could not.
I can run up it, but then I'd be falling down them.
I doubt you can run up them. I look at them, and I see how Stallone did it. And he just, goes full sprint up those things. I was like, damn.
I can definitely run up them. It may take me a day, but I can run up them.
They're actually not that. I know. At all. It's very doable.
Okay. So, if there's nothing else, we'll go right into this episode because I'm eager to get to this.
Okay.
Everything there's no news. I can't think of any news either.
Yeah. Well, by the time this gets released. So, The Ultimate Foe is the final two episodes. Yeah, and the Doctor has... Yeah. And the Doctor's gotten, he's dug himself a hole in the trial. Everything seems to show that the Doctor's just really not that good. And to a degree, they're right. I mean, when you look at everything, other than the Doctor stuff, which we'll find out about in this episode, it looks like the Doctor is kind of guilty of everything. We're introduced to several new characters, including the Keeper of the Matrix, who comes in and says...
He's not that much of a keeper, is he?
No, he's kind
not
of
that
useless.
Good of a keeper.
And he promptly says there's no way that the Matrix could be infiltrated or anything. And then, surprise,
along comes the Master. Hey, I'm in the Matrix. Look at me. I got a key, too. Look at me.
Yeah.
He's like,
you can't copy the key. I got a copy.
I got a great copy. Look, because I'm in the Matrix.
I thought that was pretty good. I'm not
that was classic Master.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Anthony Ainley, but he was really good in this.
Yes, he was.
He was very good. He was my first Master, so when I think of the Master, that's who I think of. Okay. And I do really like his performance in general, but I really like him here.
Yeah. He's really good. Because he's kind of, I mean, obviously he's against the Doctor, but he also is playing kind of both sides here. And he wants, you know.
Because he doesn't want to constitute a rival.
Yes.
And he's not coming up with stupid plots, you know, like he sometimes does. This is just kind of like he's already embedded in the story and knows what's going on and stuff. And
his plot is he wants to steal the Matrix secrets.
Yeah. I don't know why he couldn't have gotten them. He has a TARDIS.
Yeah, he's in the Matrix. Why couldn't he just take it on himself?
I know.
Well, I know.
That is one major plot hole.
Yeah. So there are some stretches. I think so. They bring Mel and Glitz down to.
And they use that great model scene again.
Yep.
Yes.
And
they got his money worth out of it.
Yeah. And they went ahead and they start to reveal all of the secrets, the bleeped out moments that we had in Mysterious Planet, and we start to learn more and more about the secrets and stuff. They're basically deflecting from the story of the Doctor's guilty to there's something else going on here.
The High Council was guilty.
Yeah.
Someone's trying to take over Gallifrey.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there were sleepers in the Matrix. They stole the stuff and they went to Earth. And so that's why they moved Earth way out of where it's supposed to be.
And one of my favorite speeches by a doctor is when he criticizes the Time Lords and says, I should have stayed here.
Power mad conspirators.
That was really good. So
that was written by Robert Holmes. You could tell it wasn't Pip and Jane Baker.
No. If it was Pip and Dame Jane Baker, it would have been more stuff about carrot juice or something. But now, the reveal, one of the bigger reveals of this, besides the Masters involved, oh, now I'm in big trouble when the Doctor sees that, is that the Valyard is the Doctor. And we
Doctor's
find out
Doctor's dark nature.
Yeah, and we
somewhere
find
between
out,
his 12th and final regeneration, whatever the hell that is now, because Chibno kind of messed that all up.
I thought it was kind of a kind of bad that we found out about that by the Master saying that, but and then the Doctor, wait a minute, you know, you just said what? And it was pretty cool. Do you know how Ken Parker, me, found out that the Valyard was the Doctor? I opened up TV Guide and the description of that episode was the Doctor goes against the Valyard, who is an alternate version of the Doctor. I couldn't see that.
What I could see that TV Guide being tossed across your living room or kitchen or wherever you
I'm like,
you
it
were
was
reading
for Channel
it.
24 out of Connecticut or whatever. Cause it, and I'm like, no! Just like your Kronos, you know?
I would have tossed that TV Guide across the living room. I've been like, oh.
I mean, we're Doctor Who fans in America, and we know that Doctor Who magazine, and like you said, we get spoilers all the time, but that was ridiculous.
Yes.
Anyways. Pretty cool concept. Michael Jaston, kind of neat thing. I wish they had done something with it.
Yes. I think there's some Big Finish stories about it.
Yeah.
There's a couple. There's one where it's actually Michael Jaston by himself does a story as the Valyard, which is actually really good. Which, funny story, I was driving to Roswell, New Mexico while listening to that. So I'm listening to that, and all I see is desert, and it sounds like that's kind of like the planet he was on, too.
Yeah, they could have done more. They could still. I mean, the Valyard, anyone's waiting. I mean, wasn't he in the trailer that we just saw? We saw his finger or something?
There was
nose. I think that's the Valyard.
There was just a picture of a silhouette of a nose.
That's the Valyard. That's the Valyard.
I'm surprised they never brought him back.
Yeah, me too.
They brought almost everybody back, except for him and Omega and Ronnie. So I guess they didn't bring everybody back.
I'm still waiting for the terrible Zoden.
I'm surprised that Big Finish has never done a story with her and with whoever does whoever they have doing the voice for. Oh yeah, Fraser Hines or Michael Troutman doing the voice. Yeah. That would have been interesting for Big Finish.
The and we talked about Michael Jaston already. He was really good in this. I love the visuals in this episode, by the way. As soon as they go to the Matrix, it's ridiculous. I just love every second of that.
That's where the story falls apart for me.
Love when they're on the beach and he's confronting the Doctor and he's doing this speech of like why he's doing everything. I was just like sitting there going, oh, this is great. He's being all over the place.
The beach part is good, but when they're in that dark night city, whatever it is, I just kept waiting for that to be over. I kept thinking of the when they're
making the Fantasy Factory.
Thinking of before when we were from the Deadly Assassin when he was in the Matrix. Then I was more interested in that. This just kept going on and on and on. I'm just like, aren't we done yet?
Well, I didn't understand that because what was he trying to do? I mean, he's being the you know, it's red tape.
He's trying to trick the doctor. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to trick
the doctor into what? Staying in the Matrix forever while we go
maybe that's where
infinite
he was,
loop of red tape?
Maybe that's where he was hanging out, where he was manipulating the Matrix to doctor the doctor's evidence and whatever.
Well, the story, and maybe this is what you were alluding to, Annie, the story does kind of fall apart a little bit because the Valyard is intelligent. And he's very mm-hmm. meticulous on his trial. But he curses, runs away, and becomes a one-dimensional villain.
Mr. Popowick.
Exactly.
Where at the end, he's like, what? He was like the master a little bit. And, he dies like the master, and it's just, or gets defeated by the master. And it just, his character deteriorates, even though when he was in the desert area and they do that where he's changing, he's getting closer and closer. I like that presence, but then he just kind of turns into this ridiculous villain at the end.
And that's what just really disappointed me with this episode, with these two episodes, because we had him being a very strong character through all these other stories, and suddenly he's just here twirling his mustache.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it didn't bother me as much because I thought visually, I mean, I like when the doctor gets into quicksand, and even though it's not the best effect, and he comes up and Glitz is in it. And, he was really good in it. And I was like, keep Mel, in the Matrix and take Glitz with you, please.
But no, here comes Mel to save the day. Well, I just want to know, I've always been curious what the original episode 14 was that Robert Holmes was supposed to write, but didn't because he died.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I was just wondering what the original one was supposed to be.
I know, he wrote something because Eric Sarwood kind of kept it from Pip and James Baker.
Yeah, because him and John Ethan Turner had a falling out.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering how much better it would have been. We probably wouldn't have had the Mel getting tripped by the keeper of the Matrix, or the Mel, or the Master Glitz show. And that ending, too, I don't know.
Well, I mean, Glitz and the Master together, even now, I was watching it going, I'm not sure exactly what's going on here. I mean, it's like that's part of the plan, but what's going on? I do like the line where a harpoon comes out and hits Glitz, and then the doctor says, "Oh, he's trying to you still there?
Yeah,
yeah.
I heard a beep.
No, I'm still here.
I can't say it. Humiliate.
Humiliate.
And it's like
cold,
he's gonna,
doctor.
Maybe he goes, "Oh, he's humiliating you by throwing harpoons at me." That makes sense. I thought that was funny, but some of the stuff looked great. And I love the he's on the gallows and he's going to be taken away. And he's like, oh, this is just the way it is or whatever. But
and they're chanting, death.
It looks
well,
great.
That was from The Tale of Two Cities. But to me, that was just over the top. I'm just like, come on.
Yeah.
It was too melodramatic for me.
I don't know. I thought it was okay.
Well, I mean, the whole story kind of falls apart. It's like they find this machine inside the Matrix, and it's overloaded, and it's like, what did you do? I don't think it's a big payoff. It's a good payoff, as good as it could have been. I don't know what could have been better, but
we'll never know.
No,
unless the script ever gets released.
But I thought the reveal of the Master being involved, I thought the reveal of the Valyard being the Doctor, I thought that would have led to more stuff. And I like the visuals in this, so I thought there was a lot of good stuff. We do find out that Perry is alive by the Master. That was a little...
That was a John Nathan Turner. Oh, by the way, we're going to add this line because I don't want her to...
Yeah. And I felt
we can actually ask her about that. She's going to be an LA Who. We can ask her about that.
No, we know what she thinks of it.
Yeah, but it's just good to just see her get on.
Well, that's the equivalent of going up to Janet Fielding and say, "Can you do Aura dance?" I mean, I know, but she doesn't like.
No, she doesn't.
But I agree with her. I think at the time I was like, "Oh, good," because I didn't want the companion to die. But Why
it would have been better go shock back and value.
I don't know. It just.
Yeah, it should they have, should been, have left it there because yeah, it would have been more of, you know. Oh, the Valyard killed my companion. Or I killed get a version of myself killed my companion.
I get been, that, but I like the stories that came out of Big Finish afterwards. So
yeah,
well, yeah, there was some, I mean, there even was still, yeah,
that.
But
yeah, I mean, I think, you know, and then she got Nicola Bryant got extra work because her companion was still alive, so she can't.
She got the work anyway. They just wrote the stories yeah, as her
I,
as
I know they did. But I mean, I agree. I think it would have been a better story if they had kept her dead, but. And it just kind of we find out about it in the this episode, and it's kind of like, oh, okay.
We never.
And they didn't. Obviously, they didn't know that because they, like you said, Jonathan Turner. It would have been nice to see maybe a clip of the Doctor visiting them, and they were both there, Ikonos and Perry. But obviously, that was a last minute throw in line that mm-hmm. they. So.
We never mentioned Linda Bellingham as Inquisitor in any of our reviews.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of her playing the Inquisitor?
I really liked her. Strong performance.
Yeah, she's good. She's good. She's not an over the. She's not like completely against the Doctor. She's very much in the middle, and does what she's supposed to do. She's supposed to be an arbitrator of both sides. At the end, it's kind of like, or not an arbitrator, but a moderator or whatever. But at the end, it's just like, well, Doctor. His arguments about getting out of the trial and being set free were not valid. Even though the whole trial was kind of messed up and everything, he was still under trial for those things, and they just let him go. It's like
he got a get out of jail free card.
Yeah.
So.
Well, exactly. I thought she was pretty good.
Yeah, she was good at it.
I remembered her from All Creatures Great and Small, so when I saw her, and I was like, oh, I know who she is.
And again, that's another character that, it, you know, too bad that she didn't come back. I mean, again, we had a limited amount of time for these characters to come back because we only had 3 seasons of Sylvester McCoy. But, it's just a whole. If the show hadn't been canceled, we probably would have seen these characters back in some form or another.
Probably.
Four or 5 years later or something like that. But. So we got that robbed from us, but
the Keeper in the Matrix, he was in the Full Circle.
Oh, really? I don't think I did any background on this. Yeah, and I like when
he was also in the War Games.
I like it when the Master tries to kill the Valiant, and Valiant's like, "You really are a second-rate villain," or whatever.
Well, at that point, they both kind of are.
Well, yeah, you're right, and they turn out like they're kind of the same person, kind of at the end, and it just kind of it is a letdown. I mean, I mm-hmm. agree. I thought the first half of this, I thought the first episode was probably pretty good, and then the second one just wasn't the best. You know,
because the first best one season. Was written by Robert Holmes, and the second one was done in a rush by.
Yeah,
Pip and Jane Baker because they rushed to do it.
Yeah.
What do you think of the idea of the Valyard being an incarnation of the Doctor?
I don't mind it. I thought it was actually quite a twist.
Well, it's interesting because at the time it was like what? Because it made no sense in what we were looking at. But since then, we've seen so many offshoots of the Doctor, especially in the latest episode, where we have these.
By regeneration.
Mm-hmm. So now anything's possible. And so this Valyard, even though they never went back to it, it kind of fits in with what we've seen with David Tennant regenerating, I don't know how many times, 2 or 3 more times.
Or the timeless child thing.
Well, the hand regeneration, his hand, and David Tennant, and then the other by regeneration, and then. You know, there's all this other stuff. So it kind of fits in now a little bit.
I'm kind of torn because I like the idea of it happening, you know, having this different version of the Doctor who's so radically different than the others. But on the other hand, that's what we have the Master for. Do we really need him if we have the Master already filling that role?
Well, yeah. I mean, it, you know, he's supposed to be a better villain, like, but as we saw in this episode, it didn't really turn out that way. And it was too convoluted. I mean, he's trying to steal the Doctor's regenerations, and I guess, isn't the Master doing that? So, I mean, it's kind of like, or he's trying to steal the Doctor's regenerations. And it just seems kind of, falls flat.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why they never brought it back, because it just, you know, but I'm sure they can do, it's, the idea is pretty neat, but you're right. It kind of, it's duplicating the Master a little bit, because he's a Time Lord. He's just the same Time Lord, you know. So you'd have all the memories, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how it works, because they never went into that.
But the Master has all the same experiences as the Doctor anyway. They grew up together.
Yeah, but so. He doesn't have, yeah, but he's not the same.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, it's they're close, so it's like, why bother, you know? But I don't know.
Yeah, that's my feeling about it. I'm, like I said, I'm torn. On the one hand, like, did Seymour, because I think it's interesting to do that to a character who's been so good for so long.
It worked,
and we already have it done.
It worked for this story.
Yeah. So. Okay, I'll give you that.
Until the end. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you're right. It just doesn't make much sense. But we could.
And it really bothers me. No, go ahead.
We could see the Valyard back someday, I would have to imagine, but
yeah, be interesting to see what a newer version of the Doctor, how he relates to that character. So, I did want to say that we know we mentioned this before, but it really bothers me that the Doctor's last words were carrot juice.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that bothers me too. It's not, obviously, it's not the fault of anyone except for Mel. No, but yeah, I mean, the whole thing falls apart after this. Colin Baker is the scapegoat.
And he shouldn't be, because he didn't write them.
Yeah. Smith McCoy came in, and I know, you know, everyone has their opinions. I thought the stories got a little bit better with Smith McCoy. I kind of liked Smith McCoy a little bit better.
At least in his second season onward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a vast improvement. By any stretch, it wasn't like night and day. It wasn't like, oh, Colin Baker was the worst and here's Sylvester McCoy. He wasn't much better. I mean, I thought I liked Colin Baker. I didn't think he was my favorite, but I when he was the Doctor, I enjoyed him in the part, and the same thing with Sylvester McCoy, so I didn't have a problem with that. But and unlike more recent Doctor Who, I don't remember hating episodes that much. I remember disliking, well, okay, there were some Sylvester McCoys I really did not like at the time.
Yeah, like the next story coming up.
Well, yeah, that's, but Delta and the Bannerman is one of the, that I had a lot of trouble with, but I guess I had trouble with all Doctor Who episodes at some point or another. I mean, you know, but I didn't, they didn't bother me as much as some of these other ones do. So, but anyways, I thought, so overall, I thought this season was different. It had some linking material that I thought worked pretty good. We got some pretty good stories, I thought, overall. I think it was short. That was the thing that bothered me the most, was when the show came back, it came back for 14 episodes, which was half, I think.
Half of what they used to do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I was ripped. Because I was really into Doctor Who at this time, and when it wasn't doing well in the ratings, and when it did stuff like this, I was ripped more so now than now. But
I think it was ambitious. I think it was ambitious of them to have a story arc like this for a whole season. I know we had something similar for The Key to Time, but that just feels very different.
I wouldn't say it was a failure, but the fans never really grasped onto it as the ratings would show, but they
hasn't
also
been
didn't
embraced.
Give it,
yeah.
But also they also didn't give it a good time slot. Wasn't it also going up against Coronation Street or something like that too?
Yeah, I mean, like anything, they wanted to get rid of the show, so they just kind of threw it up against
Coronation Street and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they did the whole trial thing, because they were kind of fighting for their lives and trying to defend themselves against the powers that be of the BBC.
How familiar are you guys with the original season that was supposed to happen?
I am. I know that Robert Holmes was supposed to do an Auton story that was taking place in Singapore, and Big Finish went to his widow asking to see if she still had the script, because they were going to do an audio for it, but she couldn't find it.
I've read a little bit about it. I haven't, don't know too much about it.
Well, the Celestial Toymaker was supposed to make a return, and that was supposed to take place at an amusement park, and Syl was going to return. And there's a couple others I can't remember.
Yeah, I mean, they made novelizations of some of them. Didn't they make, Big Finish, didn't they do a couple?
Oh, yeah, they did a whole bunch.
The Lost Stories.
Yeah.
I haven't heard them.
I don't know if they would have been much better. I mean,
I think they should have done a season standalone without the trial. So I think the trial, because if you were tuning in, Doctor Who is on, and then you're watching episodes 5, 6, 7, 8, and you missed episodes 1 through 4, and then you're like, you see this triangle, what's going on? And you're totally confused because you didn't watch the other one. This is like not 1986, 87. And you're like, no one's recording it unless you got the VCR. And it's kind of confusing for some of the casual fan that just come in to watch it.
Yeah.
Because they don't, what the hell is going on? Why is there a trial? What happened? So, and they didn't have those other titles. It was just episode 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if I ever saw it with the episode, other than the DVD. I never saw it in that format of episode 1. I always saw it as...
Yeah, when they sold it to the United States, they had it with the...
Yeah. Oh, I have another page here of stuff from Ultimate Foe.
Oops. Do you know that Michael Jason was up for the role of James Bond, and he actually played James Bond on the radio show?
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah. I forget if he was supposed to be when Lazenby did it or when Roger Moore came on, but he was up for the role. And obviously, he didn't get it, but he ended up playing him like they did the movies. You know, like when they did Star Wars on the radio? They did James Bond on the radio.
And Sean Connery, was Sean Connery in this episode? Or who are you talking about? Jason Connery, was he in this episode?
No, Michael Jason was up for the role of James Bond.
Okay.
And when I last saw him, which was, 2021, at the convention, he was talking about it.
I think everyone in England was up for James Bond.
He actually did it on the radio broadcast, so...
Anyways, anything more about this? I know that a couple days later, I'm going to go, I should have talked about that and that and that. There's a lot to talk about for this season. I think it's a very important season in Doctor Who. I think watching it now, there were elements that I liked a little bit better. There were some I didn't. I thought Mysterious Planet went down a little bit. I think Terror of the Vervoids stayed about the same. Ultimate Foe was kind of the same, but I liked Mind Warp a lot. I thought that gets better in more viewings, I think. Except knowing how it ends, it's kind of like, ugh.
Yeah, it takes the shock element out of it and just brings it down a peg or two.
Yeah. It's hard to focus on each individual story without seeing it as part of the whole.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. So, well, that's okay then, or whatever.
Well, that's all right then.
All right then. Okay, thanks for listening.